Your search bar works great for finding exact matches. It breaks completely when you need to find things that are other things. You're listening to Exploring Next. I'm Izzo, and this is episode 252 with Boone. Today we're diving into vector databases, the tech behind every AI search feature you've used in the last year.
And trust me, this is way more interesting than it sounds. We're talking about the difference between asking, "Does this exact thing exist?" versus, "What's similar to this thing I'm thinking about?"
Right, and that shift is huge. Every time you search through your photos for cats without tagging them, or ask ChatGPT to find relevant docs, vector databases are doing the heavy lifting.
The core insight is brilliant, actually. You take unstructured data, text, images, whatever, and use embedding models to convert it into vectors. Arrays of floating point numbers where geometric distance equals semantic similarity.
Boone, break that down for me. What does geometric distance equals semantic similarity actually mean?
Think of it like this. The words dog and puppy end up close together in this high-dimensional space. A photo of a cat and a drawing of a cat also cluster near each other. The math doesn't care about the format, just the meaning.
Okay, so the magic is in the embedding models. OpenAI's text embedding three small vision models for images. They're creating these numerical representations where similar things naturally group together.
Exactly. And we're talking 256 to 4096 dimensions typically. The specific numbers don't mean anything to humans, but the geometry is everything.
But here's where I start thinking about product reality. How do you actually search through millions of these vectors without melting your servers?
Right. Brute force comparison is linear with dataset size. At 10 million vectors with 1536 dimensions each, you're doing billions of floating point operations per query. That's way too slow for real time.
So approximate nearest neighbor algorithms. You're trading perfect accuracy for massive speed gains.
And the trade-off is surprisingly good. You can get 95% recall, meaning you find 95% of the truly best matches, while being orders of magnitude faster than exhaustive search.
Now I'm curious about the production angle. Users don't just want semantic similarity. They want to find similar documents that I own, created this month. That's filtering plus similarity.
Hybrid retrieval, yeah. You've got pre-filtering where you apply the attribute filter first, then run AND on the subset. Or post-filtering where you run AND first, then filter results.
Which performs better?
Pre-filtering is more accurate but expensive for selective queries. Most production systems use smart indexing to make pre-filtering fast enough to be practical.
And then there's the keyword precision problem. Pure semantic search for GPT-5 release date might drift toward general AI content instead of finding the exact document with that phrase.
That's where hybrid search shines, dense vector search plus sparse retrieval like BM25. You run both in parallel and merge results using reciprocal rank fusion. Best of both worlds.
All right, but let's get into the real engineering. How do these AN algorithms actually work under the hood?
Three big ones. HNSW, IVF, and product quantization. Each hits a different point on the speed memory accuracy triangle. HNSW builds a multi-layer graph. Each vector is a node with edges to similar neighbors. Higher layers are sparse for long-range hops. Lower layers are dense for local precision.
So query time is like graph traversal?
Exactly. You hop through the graph toward your target. HNSW is fast, delivers excellent recall, but it's memory hungry. It's the default in most modern systems for good reason. IVF takes a different approach, clusters vectors using k-means, builds an inverted index mapping clusters to members, then only searches the nearest clusters at query time.
Memory efficient?
Much more than HNSW, but often slower, and you need a training step to build those clusters. Trade-offs everywhere. Then there's product quantization, pure compression play. Divides vectors into subvectors and quantizes each to a codebook. Can reduce memory by 4 to 32x. That's how you get to billion-scale datasets? Yep, often combined with IVF as IVFPQ. Phase uses this approach extensively. You're compressing aggressively but can still search effectively. I'm giving these algorithms a solid A- for elegance. But configuring them sounds like an art form. Oh, it absolutely is. HNSW has.